With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rod.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanik.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. What up?
What up?
It's Rob and Souk. It's your sports bros here for you again today.
Asad.
We'll be here tomorrow.
Asad! Dude! Asad! Yeah!
Sports is sports. We are having a good time. There's a lot going on today.
There is.
We're doing some really quality content for you.
Dead sir.
And it continues.
That's debatable, but, you know.
Coming up next, our college football tickle trunk. The Big Ten has been hit by COVID already, stunningly.
I love how everyone's now, like, criticizing the Big Ten because they didn't build in enough weeks, right? Like,
that's the new thing.
I'm sorry.
Way to screw it up, Big Ten.
They didn't just plow through. They actually tried to take some precautions, and now we're seeing why they took precautions, but screw the Big Ten.
Coming up in the club tonight, Kim Kardashian is taking on more fire these days.
I thought they were going away.
This is so great.
Asteroid news. Why? What? What
the,
is
the Kardashian stuff?
Yeah. I mean,
it's not great.
They're
but
laughing
it's funny.
Their ass off because it's just more people talking about them.
Well, that's probably true.
I mean, there's just, it doesn't matter what they do. All that their whole job is to just keep their worthless existence in the headlines, and they do it amazingly well.
Did you see the bloody Halloween murder scene set up at the Dallas house? Did you see that?
No.
It's kind of making the rounds.
I have not.
There's an artist that lives in Dallas.
You have the COVID?
I hope not.
Okay.
Feel great.
You and Justin Turner over there yakking on a bone.
So this guy lives in Dallas and he's an artist and he does this every year, but he has set up a murder scene outside of his house, like for Halloween.
Yeah.
So,
realistic.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Realistic and just so awful that people have called the cops.
Oh boy.
Yeah, it's making the rounds.
Holy crap.
Look at that thing.
Ah.
You care to describe it?
Well, I mean, that's a lot of blood. It's a lot of blood.
A lot of blood.
Yeah.
He says that's the hardest part because rain washes away the fake blood.
Sure.
But it's a murder scene and he's got three or four deads.
You wouldn't think, like, if you saw it though, you wouldn't think that it's
well,
real.
Well, of course
it's just,
not.
It's just very graphic.
It's super graphic and it scares people.
He does have a wheelbarrow, a quality barrow, by the way. I think that's a Yard King. Full of body parts. So
yes.
There's that. Yeah.
There's a guy on the roof with a
machete or something
in his head.
There's a chainsaw guy. All right. Well,
it's quite,
the people that love Halloween, man, they
he went
are,
the extra mile.
He really did.
And I think that's what we need to talk about is I have a hard time pinpointing over the top Halloween decoration guy. I don't know who that guy is.
Oh, I see here where the police did arrive. He's got him on the doorbell cam.
Oh yeah.
I find it weird, but it's...
They're like, hey, what's going on here with all these dead people?
Halloween
like,
is...
Oh, they're not real. Oh, okay. Thank you, sir. Fine.
Halloween is no different than super Christmas person.
Is that the same guy?
Yeah, it's the same
is
thing.
It?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, there was a guy in LeCenter, and people would come from all over. I mean, you could see his... LeCenter's not a big place, but I've never seen a house quite like it that in like in person.
Christmas?
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
But are all super Christmassy people, super Halloween people? Because
my
wife's very Christmassy, but not very Halloweeny.
But I think the same thing that drives you to spend, because I talked to the guy once, he spent like over the years, he said he's got about $200,000 worth of Christmas stuff around his house. I'm like, oh my God. Right? So you spent 200 grand over years. And he said it takes him like, 10 days to set it up and about 10 days to pull it down. The same thing that inspires you to do that is the same thing that causes you to do Halloween and do a, that. It's just that for whatever reason, someone is into the bloody murder, spooky stuff, and another person is into, peace on earth, goodwill towards man.
All right. I think we're ready. You ready? Let's do this. You ready, Jace?
Let's go.
Hot five. Let's go.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
You got baby nuts.
What an exciting time.
Developers.
Los Angeles.
Number five. Number five.
Someone has pointed out that in Texas, there's a stripper Halloween house.
I was just laughing at that. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I just looked it up.
The skeletons are, so the dancers are, there's a bunch of poles.
Yeah.
And the pole dancers are skeletons with little wigs.
Oh, well played.
That's fantastic.
Well played.
All right, where do we start?
Oh, by the way, they have to be taken down.
The
HOA is...
Of course.
The HOA has said...
You can be started on HOAs.
Nope. They got to come down.
Another NBA team is selling the Utah Jazz. Gail Miller is the widow of Larry Miller. She's the current owner. They bought the team in 1986 for $22 million.
He's a beloved figure in that area. Well, they were. I mean, he's passed, but...
They'll be selling their majority interest to Qualtrics founder Ryan Smith for $1.6 billion.
It's a nice investment.
The Utah native is committed to keeping the team there. Qualtrics is an online service, online survey software company.
Okay.
That dude, by the way, he's 37.
Yikes.
And he owns an NBA team.
All about surveys. Yeah, the Millers, I think they made all their money in auto dealerships.
Number four.
But, yeah, they were big in that community and people loved them. And, the Jazz have been a really model. They're like the Blazers. They've never won a title.
Yeah.
But we're always good. Small market.
They said that since 1989-1990, which is a long way back, they have the second highest winning percentage in the NBA behind the Spurs.
Yeah,
they've been the Utah Jazz.
Been a nice franchise.
Well, it didn't take long for Daryl Morey to return to the NBA. He's about to take over operations for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Didn't he just give us a big spiel about he was spending more time with his kids and all this and that?
He did.
Okay.
That he did.
Turns out he hates his family.
Well, he wanted to be on the East Coast.
Yeah.
It's a 5-year deal. They say it'll be signed by the weekend, so it's not official yet. General manager Elton Brand, who is a proponent of keeping Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid together, they say he will remain on as GM. The Rockets have a new coach, Mavs assistant Steven Silas, son of Paul. He sold the team on his offensive ingenuity. So,
okay.
Did I say Mavs?
No, you did not
Rockets.
Say Mavs.
Who did I say?
I think you said Rockets.
Did I say Rockets? Mike's not even listening, and you're half listening. What did I say? The Rockets have a new coach. His name is Steven Silas.
I knew it was the Rockets, so if you said something different, then I didn't hear it.
He's a Mavs assistant.
Maybe that's what he said.
What else we got here? Oh, hey, big COVID news out of Eugene.
Yes?
The Ducks had 5 positive COVID tests, but they were false positives.
Aha! They got a Saban.
In your face, COVID.
Well, again, remember.
So those players are all back at practice.
This is they're doing the rapid antigen test, but we've seen this pop up all over sports that a lot of these are coming back as false positives when you do the PCR test. But this also can, remember, this can be a problem because Baylor had this. Well, Baylor had 2 of the rapid antigen tests, and they were wrong. They said that the guys were fine. Even though they were experiencing mild symptoms, they led them around the team, and that's what led to the outbreak of like 40+. So, those daily rapid tests are obviously good. It's better than nothing, but they're not always the most reliable things.
Can we figure this stuff out already?
Well, I mean,
please.
You hear everything that they can be somewhere like in the 70 to 80%, and then other people say it's more like 90, but Look, there's a margin for error, which is why you have to do the.
Like, I know this is all new and it's tough and it's difficult, and I'm just like, can we like just figure it out?
So the Pac-12 saying if the PCR is negative, the player may resume the daily antigen test cadence and return to play.
Yes.
If the PCR is positive, they will be confirmed positive and remain in isolation. Yeah. Now, that applies to Wisconsin, who has paused all activities for 7 days. 6 players and 6 staff have tested positive, including Paul Christ, the head coach there. It's the first Big Ten game that is off due to COVID. Wisconsin will not play Nebraska this week. Now, that game will not be made up.
There's no time to be made up. So, but it's not a loss. It's just going to be a no contest. So at the end, you're probably going to have to figure out just win percentage-wise, but also realize that because Wisconsin has to shut down for 7 days, the Purdue game is in danger. Because they got to shut down. No activity, which means you're going to have to ramp this thing up on a Thursday or a Wednesday, possibly depending on when exactly the test came back and you shut down, and then go ahead and play on a Saturday. And some people are saying that they don't know if that's a possibility. So that Purdue game next week is in jeopardy.
Coming up in our college football tickle trunk segment, which is next, I will tell you what they are already saying about Big Ten protocol. It will stun you.
Oh.
What they are already questioning.
Because remember, if a player gets it, it's 21 days.
3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Oh, that is up for debate now. And number one, Seahawks upgrade their pass rush today. They trade a 7th-round pick and center B.J. Finney.
He's a backup. I mean, he wasn't a huge part of what they were doing.
They trade those guys, all that stuff, to the Bengals for disgruntled defensive end Carlos Dunlap.
It's a nice move. Look, there were three significant defenders that were supposedly on the market in this edge rusher list. Everson Griffin, Carlos Dunlap, and Alden Smith. Two with the Cowboys. Everson Griffin ended up going to Detroit. That's the one I liked a little better for Seattle. And by the way, both Everson Griffin and Dunlap are not having great seasons. Both are pretty disgruntled. Both are on bad teams. And so there's a risk with any of these. Everson Griffin was the better pass rusher. Dunlap is the better player. Dunlap, for his entire career, has been one of the better run defenders / pass rushers in the league. He's been very consistent. So he is a good pass rusher. He's not elite. Hasn't been very good this year, but hopefully a change of scenery will be an upgrade for him, and you can get him motivated. And even as a good, not elite pass rusher, he's still light years better than anyone Seattle has. And so while I was kind of hoping the Alden Smith, we don't know if Dallas is willing to part with him because he's basically just on a 1-year super cheap deal, and he's been great for them. He's probably been their best defender, but this was a move that Seattle had to make. You had to go out and get one of these three guys. You lost out on Griffin, or you prefer Dunlap, however it works out. And so your defense got a big upgrade. Is it enough? We don't know, but this was something that had to be done. It had to be addressed. And they went out and found a way.
Dunlap is 31. He will make $7.8 million this year, and the Seahawks will take on that entire salary. There's your Hot 5 at 5. It's refreshed by Coors Light. Live sports are back and always better with an ice-cold Coors Light. Coors Light! Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Okay, the tickle trunk is next. This will stun you, but the Big Ten is now asking the question, does the 21-day COVID protocol still make sense? That's next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, the Big Ten has been hit by COVID. That's where we kick off our college football tickle trunk for you right meow. So Wisconsin, 6 players, 6 staff, including the head coach. They have to shut her down this week. They will not play Nebraska. That game goes away. Now, I don't know if you know this, but in the Big Ten rules, COVID rules, a team must play 6 of 8 games to be eligible for the Big Ten title game.
Okay. And so this is already 1 down for Wisconsin, and Purdue is up in the air right now.
Well, it's 1 down for Nebraska, too.
Yeah.
But I think that will be challenged. The second Ohio State only plays 5, but wins by 70 points per game, and then the college football playoffs, like, well, we feel like we could make an exception.
Remember, it's not a college football playoff. This is just for the Big Ten championship.
No, I know, but I'm like the Big Ten. Okay, so let's just say Ohio State only plays 5. Mm-hmm. They're clearly the best team. They kick everyone's ass.
Yeah.
But they're not eligible for the Big Ten title. You tell me the college football playoff? Maybe the Big Ten would keep them out of the title game. That's the rule. But you tell me the college football playoff's going to abide by that?
Because the college football playoff has not said that there is any sort of like minimum here.
Right, which is probably the way to go. Just, it's fluid.
Yes.
Okay? So, so that game's off. Now, a lot of people are giving the Big Ten crap because, well, and I say people. These aren't really people. These are schmucks like Clay Travis and the like.
Yeah, Feibom was bitching and moaning about it.
Well, he's an idiot too.
Yeah.
These are people that are saying, look, their logic is so flawed. They're saying, well, the Big Ten waited too long. And now they're screwed because if they lose a game, like the SEC and the Big 12 have lost games,
they can't make
they
it up.
They can't make them up because they waited too long.
And how dare they have a conservative approach to players coming back on the field.
Jesus, what a mental gymnastic. Like they neglect to point out that the reason the Big Ten and the Pac-12 waited was so that they could get better testing, which testing is not about, you know, it's not about controlling the virus. It's about containing the virus.
Yeah.
So the Big Ten did the right thing. Okay, and it really can't be argued otherwise.
No,
they're just saying you're dumb because you're not going to play as many games as us.
And you can point to the fact that entire team in LSU and Clemson have had the virus, and someone's going to say, well, that just means that they're immune now. So good for them. They let it run through them. Whereas other people will say, maybe that wasn't best practices. See Baylor and what's happening down there and some of these other outbreaks. But
so when you test daily, because of the SEC, the Big 12, the ACC, they don't test daily.
No.
When you do in the Big Ten and the Pac-12, you're probably going to find out about more COVID than in the other leagues.
And there's no wiggle room now.
And there's no wiggle room, and they're going to shut it down. And that's the best you can do, right? Yeah. Isn't that how you proceed?
And
I know it sucks that we lose that beloved Wisconsin-Nebraska game, and we're going to lose more games. But my God. There is a balance here, and the balance on the other side is, hey, it's not safe right now with this virus that's killing hundreds of thousands of people. So let's make sure we are on top of it when we do get COVID cases. That's all the Big Ten and the Pac-12 did, and they're being shouted down by these morons for it. That is the dumbest thing I've heard in months.
And now people are attacking the 21-day policy if you have a confirmed positive test, and what the Big Ten said originally, and now they're coming out and saying, hey, this is why we're doing this, is twofold. One, allows time to be fully recovered, not have to be rushed back from a conditioning standpoint, and allows them to monitor the heart condition, which is what the Big Ten was worried about in the first place. So their thing was, if a guy does get it, the goal should not be to rush him back onto the field as soon as possible.
Also level-headed.
Whereas a lot of the other conferences,
safe.
It is the idea of, okay, you got it.
But
how
wait.
Quickly can we get this guy to have a miraculous recovery and get him back on the field? And now that is being criticized for being far too cautious on the part of the Big Ten.
Stunning who is criticizing that, by the way.
Yes.
So just to put this in simple terms, the Big Ten had its first outbreak. It's at Wisconsin. They lose their quarterback who tested positive. They lose a game. The quarterback's going to have to sit out 3 weeks. He may miss three games. He may miss the Michigan game too.
Yeah.
And guess who is the one who's like, well, maybe we should look at that 21-day policy? Freaking Barry Alvarez, who is the head cheese at Wisconsin.
Yes.
Stunning turn of events.
And one of the biggest swinging you-know-whats in the Big Ten and
so
college football.
Here's what they're saying. So when the Big Ten instituted a 21-day window before players can return from a positive virus test, the reason why, one of the big reasons why, was the cardiac screening.
Yeah.
But now Barry Alvarez has found cardiologists who say that testing may not be needed for many of the kids that get it.
I found a guy that agrees with me that these kids can get back way sooner than that.
So he says that... He said, all along, I didn't think the 21-day thing, I didn't think it sounded right. And so he sought out some medical professionals to come in there and make the Big Ten look at that. And I guarantee you they're going to change that. Guarantee you they're going to change that.
We're not going to have the 21-day.
Guaranteed. One key player, Wisconsin's quarterback, that's all it took before they changed that rule.
Yeah. Then welcome to the world of college football. And all the talk of the Big Ten handling it right and trying to be safe and cautious, like you said, that appears to be going out the window. And now it's up to see what happens with the Pac-12, because do you think the Pac-12 is going to be any different, to be honest with you, right?
Well, but again, they're going to have COVID because COVID's out there.
Well, I mean, already. Like,
but it's how you just got to contain it the best you can.
Sure. I mean, but it's like someone pointed out, like the Nick Saban thing happens and instantly we're all like, really? Like 2-3 days later, you're fine. But Oregon gets 5 tests and then all of a sudden Oregon's like, nope, we're fine. We can resume practicing and no one bats an eye at it. There's this idea out here.
Well, but the Saban, that's a little different because that one, it's Alabama. Two, it's the most powerful man in college football.
Sure. But
three, it's 2 days before the biggest game of the season.
But let me ask you, do you think that Oregon or UW or USC is above anything that we've seen from the Big 12 or the SEC or Wisconsin or Ohio State or anything else?
No, but I also would like to say that when we joke about Saban, it probably was a false positive.
Probably.
I mean, we're joking about that because we're cynical about it.
Yeah.
But the reality is, Alabama most likely did not fudge that.
No.
It is probably a false positive.
But we have
but
seen...
But no, you're, to we have answer
seen,
your question.
We have seen so many of these leagues plow through barrier after barrier of their own making, right? How many times have we seen the goalposts moved by every single conference in this country? And if you think that the Pac-12 is going to be any different, then I've got some oceanfront property to sell you. I don't know, maybe in lovely Nebraska. I just feel like maybe the appetite for risk is obviously a little bit less out here. There's not as much political pressure. But now that you've got this thing cranked back up, I just think this is just the nature of the beast, that you have got football-minded, single-minded football folks that are going to do whatever they can to try to make sure that their team and their conference finishes and gets in as many games and makes as much money as humanly possible. And I don't think the Pac-12 is any different.
And that's not shocking.
No.
At all. I was reading an article today called The A-Holing of America.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were defining a-holing as, you know, like basically like this attitude of rules don't apply to me. That makes you an a-hole.
Okay.
You know, the whole idea of
makes sense.
Rules don't apply to me.
Sure.
And we all have that to some extent. Lord knows we do it in traffic all the time or, you know, I mean, you can name a million examples.
Well, some call that American exceptionalism. Other people say, yeah, right. You're an a-hole.
Whatever you want to call it, it's not like it doesn't exist elsewhere, but we are the kings of it. We are the Michael Jordan of it. Mm-hmm. And this article was talking about why that is. And it's fascinating, which we don't need to get into it right now, but we have that. We just cannot, like Barry Alvarez just won't. He's not going to let it go.
No.
And Barry Alvarez has power.
Yeah.
And Nick Saban's not going to let it. You know, it's just like we should have seen this coming.
Yeah. I mean, I did see it coming. That's,
well, everyone did.
Yeah.
I guess that's true. It's.
And someone's saying, it'll be interesting to see, will the Pac-12 governors, not commissioners, governors, will they... if something is going to cancel...
Pac-12 governors? The states?
The state governors.
Okay.
If someone were to put the kibosh on the Pac-12 season, I do believe if I was we're playing a game of Clue, I would go with Governor Newsom in Sacramento with the rope. I could see that.
I don't think they're going to mess with it.
I could see a governor stepping in and saying
too political.
Nope,
it's too political. They want they're in bed with these universities. These are major.
Well, I just know
major relationships very high up. I just don't think any of them are going to step in front of this. And I also don't know that they should. Like, again, no. Somebody said by the logic, you know, maybe they shouldn't play at all. Well, I don't think that's true either. I mean, I think originally I thought that. But now that you go through this and you see how certain places are handling COVID, and we were just talking about the Melbourne, Australia, 110-day shutdown. What good did that do them? Yeah, they don't have any COVID right now, but there are all kinds of negative effects to that. Now you come out of it, everybody goes hog wild, and guess what's going to happen?
Turn right back.
So, again, it's a virus. It's not going away, so we just have to learn to live with it and be smart about how we go about doing things when living with it, and I think you can do that with football. I wouldn't have said that, and maybe I don't remember my comments on the show, but I don't think I think I was with you that they shouldn't play back when we were talking about this in April or whenever, but I've changed.
I don't necessarily disagree with you. All I'm saying is that if you are going to put some protocols in place, follow the protocols. And if you are going to change them, make sure you're changing them because data and information has changed as opposed to, well, this is inconvenient now, so let's just go ahead and
move it. Well, that's what they're disguising it as.
A la the, if we can't have all the kids on campus, we can't play sports. Oh, how quickly. And that's when they said that, we're like, well, then there's no chance we're playing football because it's not happening. You're not welcoming all those kids back to school with open arms and you're going to be fine. Well, that quickly changed. And that's, I don't have a problem with what you're saying. I don't have a problem saying this isn't going away. We have to move on with our lives. So we're going to do this in the safest and best way possible. These are our best practices. This is what I think what we're going to do. And this is the best we can do. I have zero problem with that. What I have a problem is saying that and then a week into it being like, ooh, turns out this is kind of inconvenient and is going to mess with one of our better teams. So screw this. Let's just do this over here. That's where I have an issue.
Well, do they put a little thing in there that says not when it affects the big games or the best players?
Exactly.
Put that in there.
I don't want that. As long as that's not in there, then I'm on board with what you're saying.
Hey, man, Bama, Georgia was affected. Okay. Where does it stop?
Yeah, you can't. You can't let that.
Baylor, Kansas, that's one thing. Bama, Georgia, come on now.
It's a damn good point, Scoots.
And another guy says, this is a perfect example.
Good to hear from you again, Scoots.
Thank you. This is a perfect example of why our country is the worst with the pandemic.
Exactly. Yes.
100%.
No one, I'm with you. No one, at least for me, I'm not saying shut down, close everything down, hide underground, bunker it. You can't do it. But you also can't just go willy-nilly and say, well, I really want this to happen. So screw everything that the smart people are telling us and that we put in place.
You can when it's Bama, Georgia, man.
Yes, you can.
All right, college football Tickle Trunk continues. What school opened a new $200 million facility? That story next. And has an interim coach ever left for another job mid-season? Because that just happened. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right.
We were talking earlier about Jamal Adams because it was reported that he was limited in practice today and then we were waiting to see the injury report tomorrow. Mm-hmm. That was incorrect. He did not practice at all today.
Well, who said that?
Well, that's the official report that came out. There were people on Twitter saying that he was limited in practice and we were kind of waiting to see what that meant. But the official report said that that Seattle put out just a little bit ago. He was a non-participant with the injury, and he was ill. He was ill as well.
Oh, great!
So he is out with the groin, which he's been battling, and he said that's slowly getting better. But he was also out with the groin / illness.
You think he's got the COVID?
No.
Or colds and flus starting to.
Yeah, remember the NFL said and that they were going to err on the side of caution, and that if you had symptoms as we got into cold and flu season, if you had COVID symptoms, even if you don't have a positive test, they are going to hold you out and err on the side of caution. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you won't play, but they're keeping you away from people because, you know, obviously they can't have, you know, someone being symptomatic, have a negative, you know, rapid test and then find out 2 days later that you had it, and you spread it to five people and now your team shut down for a week.
So this will piss off like maybe Oregon State guy.
Okay.
A little bit.
I feel like Oregon State guys pissed off a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
It's the lack of respect sort of thing. The underdog is always angry. You know, it's...
Well, you know, they have sucked for...
I understand.
Quite some time now.
Look, I'm just saying, I think there's a lot of pent-up anger and frustration when your team is not very good.
Back in the day now...
Yeah, but then you also get into this place like I'm with Kansas football and it's just like whatever.
Well, you're just defeated.
Right.
Oregon State fan is not, they haven't
they're
been
not there yet.
They haven't been beaten down like that.
I think we're playing the varsity.
A private liberal arts college with 2,155 students now has an athletic complex that might be the envy of some NCAA Division I universities. Colby College in Waterville, Maine has pressed forward with a $200 million athletic facility.
What?
Despite the pandemic and economic downturn.
This is in Maine?
Maine.
If you told me this story was out of Texas,
I know. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
The video that they, it's called the Harold Alfond Athletic Center or something.
Boy, I'm looking at it.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's something else.
It's 350,000 square feet. It's opened this week. It will serve the community as well as students. Ground was broken in October 2017 and was completed on time despite the challenges posed by the pandemic. So this says, across the country, more than 230 NCAA and NAIA athletic teams were eliminated because of budgetary cuts or school closures associated with the pandemic. But Colby is keeping all of its sports programs and just opened this $200 million facility. The center features an indoor track and field house with accommodations for pole vault, high jump, long jump, shot put.
Ah, the good. I shot putted in high school. Yeah.
Tennis courts, a 42-foot climbing wall, and a trainer's suite with hydrotherapy pools.
Because you know what? I'm sure that's what Colby College needs more than anything else is we need a place to throw the shot put and pole vault.
But Colby raised $120 million for the project on its own, and the Harold Alfond Foundation provided another $80 million. Anyway, isn't that, like, how does that happen? When you've got...
Dude, our priorities are so ass backwards. It does... Colby College. It's really...
But, you know, like, they'll share it with the community, which is what, probably that's what they should start doing, is like, you probably get more money for these facilities if you just let goobers like you and me go in there. Like, you and I can go in and start
I want nothing more than to go down to, like, Oregon and just... I'm gonna pump some iron with Coach Feld. Right. I'm gonna fill the sleeves with him. Like, who the hell is this guy? Don't worry about me. I'm just getting in some quick sex, guys.
Quick sex?
Yeah, quick sets. Quick sets. Sets.
Jeez, I thought you and Feld were doing it.
Sets.
Jeez. But, yeah, like you take your buddies down to Autzen and just... pick up game.
What?
Well, we help raise the money for this. So well, it's a community.
It's the same thing that's going on like in Texas high schools, right? Like we're struggling to get half the kids in this country educated, and there's places down in Texas that are building $100 million football stadiums. It's just high school stadiums. It's an embarrassment. It really is. And yet we're like, well, we can't provide education for anyone and can't get tuition down. But you know what we can do? We can build the best dart. What level is this?
Pole vault.
The NAIA. We can build the best NAIA pole vaulting facility in the world.
I actually don't know. I've never heard of
it. It's NAIA.
Is it?
Yeah.
$200 million.
For an NAIA.
It must be a ritzy town.
Athletic center.
There's a bunch of richies over
in
there.
In Maine. I'm looking here at one of their basketball games. You can count the number of people there.
There's only 2,000 people at the school.
Yeah, I mean, my
students.
My word. This is like when, you know, but it's the same thing like with Clemson. You know, they're like, well, you know, our budgets are a little tight right now. Clemson had the nerve to ask fans to donate the money for their season tickets, right? Clemson put a slide in their athletic facility, like their $80 million athletic facility. They had so much money, they're like, let's put a little whimsy in here and build a slide. They pay their coach $9 million, but then they have the balls to be like, well, you know, times are tough right now, so we'd really like it if you just gave us some money, fans. I mean, it's just, it's absurd. It's absolutely absurd. When organizations like this, we cry for money when it's just so mismanaged and it goes to all the wrong things.
Somebody asked, why would that make Beaver fan pissed off? The Valley Football Center is amazing. Well, first of all, no, it's not. But second, Valley Football Center is like $40 million or something? This is $200 million. And it's Colby College. That should piss you off.
Now, to be fair... The Oregon State one is nice.
Yeah, but not the Valley Football Center.
Yeah, that's the Oregon State's
the newest part of it.
Yeah, the football facilities are nice. Oregon State, look, Oregon State can no longer, the stadium, the one half of the stadium.
They expanded it. I think I'm thinking of like the original Valley Football Center.
No, it's actually quite
nice.
And
they've expanded it and renovated it.
Yeah, it was $46 million.
Right, so Colby College spent
$200
million. $200 million.
Yeah.
That should piss you off. Colby College.
Yes. So I will say this about Oregon State. They do have the worst facilities in the Pac-12 still, but they're not bad. Like everyone has new facilities. So, I mean, they're on par with some of the others. That's the reality of the world is you're not the Oregons and the USCs. But if you look around the Pac-12, I think everyone within the last, 7 or 8 years has built new football facilities. And so Oregon States are no longer obsolete. They're no longer bad. They're no longer an embarrassment. They're nice. They're nice facilities. They're just not showstoppers. But I don't know how many places outside of the really big dogs have show-stopping stuff. I mean, It's just that stuff costs a lot of money, and you got to have a lot of deep pockets in order to build those truly special places. Unless you're in the SEC, then everyone's got them, but that's, it just matters more.
All right, up next, has an interim coach ever left for another job midseason? That happened just the other day. We'll get to that next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, two other quick college football nugs. Then we dive headfirst into the club hour here.
I'm telling you, though, a lot of people taking shots at Oregon State. I'm telling you, go down and look at their facilities. They are not bad. They're just not.
Yep, that's what they strive for. Not bad.
They're nice.
They've gotten better.
They have gotten a lot better. It used to, when I was getting recruited and my brother played at Washington State, I've never seen worse facilities than Oregon State. They were...
well, not quite as good as Colby College, but...
no, they were horrific. Oregon State does not have bad facilities. The one side of the stadium obviously needs to be improved, but when you go down to Oregon State now and you see the indoor practice facility, when you see the locker room, you see the athlete center and all that stuff, it is on par with most of the teams in the Pac-12. I think when you look at, obviously, Oregon, SC, UW, those are different, right? Those are... there's just more money there. Colorado has really nice ones that they just built. A lot of places just have, like I said, everyone over the last handful of years has put in new ones. Cal's are really nice. But I think if you went and looked at WSU, Arizona's, Utah's, I think if you looked at Oregon State's, you looked at UCLA's, you know, they got the Rose Bowl. But if you actually looked at their football facilities, I don't think there's a big difference in any of those. Everyone that's building now is building nice. And unless you just have, you know, blank checks like some of these big programs, all the new facilities are going to relatively look alike. And they're going to have the same amenities. And they're all going to be nice football facilities. Back when I was coming out, it was really the haves and the have-nots. And now it's more of all the haves. And then everyone has a nice house. And then there's a couple mansions up on the hill. It's more just a varying degree of nice. You can't have bad facilities in a Power 5 conference nowadays and be competitive. You can't.
So Southern Miss will get its third head coach of the season.
Huh?
Southern Miss will get its third head coach of the season.
One more time?
God. Southern Miss will get its third head coach of the season.
Okay, let's...
so you know that their coach quit.
One more time.
Southern Miss will get its third head coach of the season. I feel like if you put all four of those together, they would be identical.
Okay, yeah.
That's how professional I am.
I mean, you're on...
same cadence, same everything.
Would you like me to do it?
Sure. Let's see what it sounds like. No, their coach quit. Jay Hobson.
I'm not familiar with Mr. Hobson or really much about that program.
So three games he coached.
Okay.
And he was like, F this. This team sucks.
Brett Favre's not walking through that tunnel anytime soon.
They lost to South Alabama and he resigned. Then this guy, Scotty Walden, takes over.
Okay.
So he's the interim coach, but he gets the COVID.
Mm.
So he has been away from the team due to the COVID. And they have a second interim. But just yesterday, Scotty Walden left to go to Austin Peay with COVID.
I think it's Austin Peay State now, isn't it?
I don't know.
I think they added a state behind it.
It just says Austin Peay here.
Okay. So now we're on.
So they just hired him away while he was on COVID leave.
Huh.
So now they're on their third coach. Assistant coach Tim Billings will be the third head coach of the
hey,
season.
You know what, guys? Things are going great.
God.
Nothing to see here. Just we're all fine.
And Austin Peay didn't have a coach because their coach resigned before the start of the season. So he didn't even coach a game and he quit. So good times. Anyway, I've never heard of that where an interim coach leaves in the season to take over another program.
So is he the head coach immediately now?
Yes. Austin? Yes. That's the thing. He jumps right on the headset.
Interesting.
With his COVID.
He's coaching from the Hugh Freeze hospital bed.
He went to a state with lighter COVID restrictions. So.
Oh. Well, this is like in high school, right? Like if you can't play high school football, you just move to like Utah
yes.
or Alabama. Same sort of thing. You won't let me coach? Well, I know a place that will. Screw you guys.
And finally, Barry, This pertains to nothing, but I found it fascinating. At West Coast CFB on Twitter had this, and I have no idea how to verify it, but I'm going to go with it.
All right.
And it's the list of the Pac-12, of what each Pac-12 program spends on feeding its football team.
Oh, I'm guessing this number is quite a bit.
Okay, so last is Washington State. Mm-hmm. They basically give their team table scraps. It's 400,000.
You get like a power bar and a Gatorade. Go away.
400,000. Okay, Colorado. Actually, Washington only 670,000. They are eighth. Moving on up.
Because you can provide unlimited food now.
Arizona State and Utah and Cal and Oregon State are all about 750 to 800,000.
Okay.
Okay, nothing weird here.
Nothing to sneeze at.
Oregon is at 951,000. Again, a little more, but
those protein shakes
roughly the same.
Protein shakes are expensive.
Number two, Arizona, 1.2 million. Again,
why is Arizona so expensive?
That's pretty high, but they just, hey, look, they're into nutrition.
All right.
Number one, UCLA.
What's UCLA spend?
5.4 million.
Come again?
5.4 million.
Well, it is in Brentwood. Do they all just get like a Diners Club card? Are they eating out at Wolfgang Puck's new place?
I thought that was wild. I don't know how they verify that.
Can we just call it? Can we call it what it is? Someone's siphoning off some dough, right? all of a sudden Cookie, the old man that's running the food program, he's living up in Brentwood in the palatial estate, and he's like nothing to see here. There's no way.
But isn't Chip Kelly like big into that whole thing?
Yes, but still.
5.4 million.
The next is 1.2 and you've jumped to 5?
Well, I think if you add up all the other schools, I don't imagine that it comes to 5.4 million.
This is something's up, my man. Something is up. Hmm. That being said, go to UCLA. You won't play a lick of football worth a damn, but you're going to do some good eating.
All right, Mike has the clip. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
This is my greatness. So Southern Miss will get its third head coach of the season. Southern Miss will get its third head coach of the season. Southern Miss will get its third head coach of the season. Southern Miss will get its third head coach of the season. Ooh.
Look,
Three for four. Yeah, the first one I had the pause before of the season. Yeah. The last three are identical.
It's like, well, it's all those recordings that you're used to, like in your music career. You gotta nail them. You gotta have all the tracks the same so you can edit them later.
Right. I do think on the third one there may have been a slightly higher inflection, but I'm nitpicking.
Yes, you are.
Boy, you're good.
Thank you.
I mean, just
what I do.
You're just a pro.
So Southern Miss will get its third head coach of the season. Southern Miss will get its third head coach of the season. Southern Miss will get its third head coach of the season. Southern Miss will get its third head coach of the season.
Yeah, I think it's just the one.
God, that's greatness.
Yeah, the one.
I'm putting that on my...
I mean, you just...
my.
Look, you're right in the strike zone.
Do we have resume tapes? That you're using?
Do we?
I've never had a resume tape.
God, if we do, I'm in trouble.
Should I make one?
I think our drops probably.
Yeah, what drops should we put on our resume tapes?
Oh, what's your program all about?
Allow me to.
One, two, three, four, five. Definitely the not safe for work peanut butter drop would be number one on C. There you go.
By the way, have you ever had a dude? It hurts all kinds of his balls.
Boy, I tell you, some PD in Minnesota is going to be like, oh, yeah.
Jump all over this.
That's what I've been waiting for.
I think that's a booty clap.
All right, the club is next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.